Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. Over the last 2 days, I've been talking to Stephanie Rapp, who is the director of the Marriage and Family Life Office for the Diocese of Columbus. And, you know, I thought to myself, let's try something new. You know, marriage is not just about one person, even if she is the definitive expert on marriage and family life in the diocese. I thought we should also hear from the person that she's living marriage with. So today, joining this conversation with Stephanie and I is her husband, Craig. So, Craig, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having
me. And Stephanie, good to have you, too.
Excited to be here and to have Craig.
And Father, you can't imagine the pressure of being married to the director of marriage.
I know. I would imagine.
It's overwhelming, the amount of, amount of effort we put into this marriage.
Let's start with a prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, we give you thanks for Craig and Stephanie. We ask that you continue to bless their family and their marriage and bless this conversation together. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I wanted to start our conversation or continue our conversation today by this topic that's frequently repeated, that parents are the primary educators of their children. To begin with, I mean, what does that mean, Craig?
Well, I think it's a great question. I think the foundational requirement there is you as a parent actually believe that. And I think that's something that parents struggle with often primarily because they think, well, I don't have a background in education, right? The best person to do that is the educators at school or my PSRA teacher. And so the child gets home and it stops, right? And I think the obvious problem with that is you're not reinforcing what's being taught. So I think from our perspective, we do believe that we're the primary educators. And once you adopt that mentality, it becomes significantly easier to take on that role. And so for us, you know, it means, you know, daily prayer. It means ensuring the kids get their homework done. It means spending time with them doing things like my wife does with Bible Timeline. And, you know, our daughter gets constantly lauded at her PSRA classes. She can answer every single question. And it's not that I think other parents don't, you know, necessarily care. I think it's that they just don't realize they are the ones who are actually in the best position to educate their children. So once you kind of own that, I think the other things come more naturally of, oh, I should really follow up with my kids. Like, I think it's actually pretty easy things to do. I don't think it's, you know, rocket science or anything to say that you just spend time with your kids talking about the things that they learned, ask them about what they learned at school, go over their homework with them. It's pretty simple.
Stephanie, would you like to respond? This is like crossfire on CNN. You
know? Well, I agree with Craig. And I think he touched on a good point that maybe some parents feel inadequate, so don't just run with that role. But parents truly are the primary educators, and they have been blessed with these children, and it's their responsibility. So when we talk about vocation and being called to marriage and family life, that includes helping your children learn about the faith and helping you as a family become more holy with the goal of becoming saints one day. And we really have to, as parents, we have to embrace that role. We really do. And even if we do feel like maybe we don't have all the answers, that is okay. You're responsible for your children. You're responsible for what they hear. And you have that relationship that is going to make that more fruitful.
You know, we use this word education, and it does imply sort of the conveying of truth and handing on the message, handing on the faith. But it might also be better to phrase that as that parents are the primary formators of their children, because it's not just, you know, explaining the faith to them and helping them to learn that, which is a crucial part, you know, and of course parents need to know the faith in order to do that. But it's also this formational piece, and I don't know how you see yourselves as forming your children, both as humans but as disciples, I would say.
I think, so again, taking it in the context of just there's religious life, but there's also, you know, just growing up to be a contributing member of society, right? Like, what do you want your children to be? And I think you have to think through that process, right? So our son Liam is a great example. He's 4 years old. And he legitimately thinks the priesthood is a possibility at this point in his life because we promote it, we give him that opportunity, we show him priests in a really good light, we bring priests over to our house for dinner. So that's part of his formation. It's not a foregone conclusion that he's going to, for example, get married and have kids. That's another great thing too, but we try to give them both options. And I think the second piece of it is obviously outside the religious life options, it's just generally what do we want them to be as contributing members of society. So we tell them about those things and we say, like, you know, here's what people do. They get jobs, they have careers, they have families if they want those things. So I think, you know, we have those even at a very young age, you know, 4 years old, we've already started having those conversations.
And, you know, they always say how kids are sponges. You know, everyone is always amazed at how much they just absorb from watching. And I think, you know, they are born into your family. They are a blessing, and they are watching everything you're doing. So in addition to what you were talking about, all the really good conversations we have, which are amazing, you have to be really intentional about. But then all the unspoken things, like they're watching how I'm treating Craig and vice versa, and they're watching who we are inviting into our home and how we're interacting with people and our prayer life and are we praying. And it really is incredible.
When you started talking about that a little bit, it just reminded me, especially in this difficult period of time, right, when you have COVID, you have social unrest due to recent issues, it's teaching them and how to walk life through adversity too is really difficult. And we've even had just minor conversations with our 4-year-old and our soon to be 6-year-old about, you know, this family next door, they don't pray at dinner. This family next door, and of course my daughter asked, why? Why don't you do this? Shouldn't everyone be doing these things? And so having those, you know, crucial conversations is a really important part of parenting and walking them through that and your thought process and just how to handle it.
If you're tuning in, this is Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger, and with me today is Craig and Stephanie Rapp. You know, parents in this role of forming, it's interesting how even, you know, like teaching them these small things or modeling these small actions. But really, from my own experience, you know, with my parents, you know, looking back after all these years, how formative they are for me to view the world. You know, like, you know, in some sense, as a man, I picture myself as a man from my father, from the image of my father. And those are things I don't think parents even recognize. Yeah, you're trying to teach them how to clean their room, how to, you know, personal hygiene, how to pray, but you're really leaving this lasting impact of how they view the world.
Mm-hmm. Right. And what love is, too. Mm-hmm. And of course, all those things are also going to frame their relationship with the Lord, too. You know, obviously, we're referring to God as Father, mm-hmm. you know, so their experiences with their Father. So all those, I completely agree that sometimes you don't even realize as a parent. But even though that is intimidating and sometimes nerve-wracking because that's a lot and you want so much for your kids, it could also be very empowering because you have the ability to help form and shape and mold. And if you have that relationship of trust with them, it's just a really – it's a journey and an amazing, amazing journey.
Yeah, I mean, and I think your call out there, Father, around just – how much your kids are soaking up. Stephanie's earlier comment about them being sponges. They are watching every move you make and every interaction you make. And again, even my youngest, you know, 9-month-old, I think, has already started modeling behaviors after how we interact. And so if he sees me treating my wife less than respectful, he potentially could do that as an adult. And, you know, kind of going back to our family of origin conversation, you were talking about your family of origin. My dad, you know, worked 2 jobs. He wasn't around as much. And so I think I didn't have that same kind of, you know, I had more takeaways of things I didn't want to do as an adult, but I didn't necessarily have as positive of a how should I do things. And so, you know, I think it's really important for everyone to recognize that your kids are watching at all times, and they're going to do exactly what you teach them to do.
In this formating role as parents, one of the important, I think, you know, gifts to give children is the lessons on how to pray. And so I was wondering maybe how you're already kind of intentionally teaching your children how to pray.
Yeah, so I mean, I think it's a mixture, right? We certainly have formal times where every morning we start the day with a morning offering. We come down the stairs, we do as best as we can, try to immediately go to the nearby couch. We have an altar next door to the couch, and we do our morning offering prayer, and then they have a little devotional book that we do. It's short, it's quick, it's probably less than 5 minutes. But it's age appropriate for our kids, who I said are, you know, 6, 5, 6, 4, and 9 months. And so that's obviously a part of it. Always praying before meals, usually praying before bed with each of them individually, and then Steph does a devotional with each of them individually as well. So those are the built-in prayer. And I think that formalness is really important, that you should always be setting aside undivided attention to God. But I think the other really important piece, especially as you become a busy adult, is that prayer can happen anywhere at any time. It doesn't have to be the, you know, kneeling at the altar kind of prayer. It can be simply in a moment of stress or just a moment of thought. You know, you look at the sky and it looks beautiful today. You have a moment of prayer. And so we've also tried to emphasize that. I did it the other day on, not even thinking, when I woke my kids up in the morning and there was just a beautiful sunrise. And I said, just thank God for that sunrise, right? And helping them understand that that is a totally acceptable way to pray as well.
I'll say one of the other things we do at dinner, we go through and we say our praise for the day, like how we want to thank God, and if we have something, our pardon, like if we had to like ask forgiveness or if there's something that happened that day. And then lastly, a petition and what we want to pray for. And that has opened up the doors for lots of good conversations. Even with kids that young, they know. Like, they have things they want to be praying for, and they have, sometimes they'll say, they'll ask each other for forgiveness if they got in a little argument that day. So, again, trying to, like, model that behavior, and that, I'll say, would be more formal. But we definitely do also, on our prayer space or on our family altar, we have saint cards for that month, so we're talking to them about that. So I think that prayer space is really fostered a lot of communication that way too, or just the different devotions. Like, we were praying the Divine Mercy Novena, and we did it in song. And once the novena was done, we weren't doing that every day, and then they asked for it. They were like, "What was that prayer again that we said?" And they will. You'll just catch them singing it throughout the day at times. So I think we try to just include it in our everyday life, in addition to, like what Craig said, the more formal times than the spontaneous times, and then being aligned with the church and the liturgical seasons as well.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. You've been listening to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. And with me today has been Craig and Stephanie Rapp. Thank you so much. And until next time, peace and all good.